We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last month, we went to Tallahassee, and we actually had a sermon in preparation for that that we aired that showed and went over the biblical principles of protecting every innocent human life, as well as went over the various proposed legislation. One of those, and the main bill that we went over, was known as a six-week ban or a heartbeat bill, and has actually been since signed or has been passed by the Florida Senate and the Florida House and has been signed by the governor. And many will tell you that this, we have made great advancements and that this is a good bill. But we're going to examine this bill today, as we did a few weeks ago, based on not human reasoning, but based on the Bible, and see whether this bill is actually a good bill or merely less evil. And I will propose to you that this bill is a bill that is merely less evil, because this bill specifically authorizes abortion, and abortion is, by definition, evil. It is evil to shed innocent blood. It is evil to shed the blood of preborn children. And we are going to look at this. We, as an organization, and we have, as a church, Covenant Tabernacle, we take a biblical approach to protecting every innocent human life. We actually also are a part, and I am the state president of Personhood Florida, where we are working to protect every innocent human life from beginning to biological development all the way to natural death. We're working to protect human life in the womb and also outside of the womb. And we actually have seen, scientists have actually created glow-in-the-dark humans. We're working to protect the disabled. Did you know that 90% of all children diagnosed with Down syndrome were actually killed by abortion in the womb? And about 10% of those test results are actually false positives. We're also working to protect seniors. And seniors should never be, we should never hasten death by starvation, dehydration, or over-medication. We also are working on a constitutional amendment, the Human Life Protection Amendment, that you can get at personhoodflorida.com. If you haven't signed this, please go to personhoodflorida.com and sign this petition right now. So this adds preborn human beings to the Declaration of Rights of the Florida Constitution. The Declaration of Rights already says that humans have a right to enjoy and defend life. So this would add preborn children to that Declaration of Rights. And in addition to this, we actually have a proposed Personhood Act that, unlike the bill that was just passed, does not authorize abortion under any circumstance and would lay the groundwork for the legal protection of every innocent human life. We are looking for sponsors. So far, to date, we have not had anyone in the legislature, a House member or a senator, that has had the courage to sponsor or co-sponsor the Florida Personhood Act. I would encourage you to encourage your representative and your senator to be bold, to be brave, to actually carry out legislation and to sponsor legislation that would protect every innocent human life. We're going to briefly go over, before looking at the law itself, we're going to briefly go over principles, legislative principles for the protection of every innocent human life, and really covering this from a biblical standpoint. Legislation must protect human life because we're created in God's image. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, according let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Legislation also must not devise evil by law. We get this from this principle from Psalm 94, verses 20 through 21. "Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood." And we see principles or laws stating no abortion shall be performed unless. Sometimes there's an ultrasound that needs to be performed first, or there's parental consent that needs to happen first, or there's a 24-hour waiting period that needs to happen first, or that the preborn child is first anesthetized. This is something that has been actually proposed. And yet, if we were to apply this to other types of atrocities, it would be actually looked at as crazy and ludicrous to suggest such a thing. Legislation also must not punish children for the sins of their fathers. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, we read, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." And that is, again, the principle. And we will actually look at examples where this law that was just signed actually does just that. Legislation must protect the mother and her preborn child. In Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, "If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, and yet no harm follows," in other words, the baby lives, "he shall surely be punished according to as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life." There's a Dublin Declaration of over 1,000 medical providers. They've signed this, that have stated that abortion is not medically necessary to save the life of a woman. Legislators also must protect innocent human life when they know to do good. The Bible says this in James 4:17, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And so we're going to actually look at this bill, this heartbeat bill, this heartbeat law. It's actually a law now, even though is not enacted yet. We'll go over that here. But this law was known in the House as House Bill 7, and in the Senate as Senate Bill 300, Pregnancy and Support and Parenting Support. The official title was changed to the Heartbeat Protection Act. And this law actually does ban abortion after 6 weeks gestation. Fortunately, this law does ban abortion after 6 weeks gestation. The law eliminates telehealth abortion, which is good, but sadly, the law specifically authorizes abortion prior to 6 weeks gestation and even the end of the second or even third trimester in certain circumstances. This bill maintains regulation of abortion clinics, continues life of the mother, and fatal fetal anomaly exceptions. And there's actually an abortion mill in Orlando that actually advertises that they perform third trimester fatal fetal anomaly exceptions. This also adds rape, incest, and human trafficking exceptions and sets penalties for violation to as a third or second degree felony. This bill, again, bans abortion after 6 weeks gestation, but it hasn't done anything yet. It hasn't changed a single, it hasn't been enacted. It's not going to change a single abortion yet. Right now, it hasn't been enforced. It will only change something if and when it is enforced. Why? Because it bows to the flawed judicial activist Florida Supreme Court ruling in Re T.W. That is in, as in the case of, R.E. is in reference to, T.W. is the minor who had wanted to have an abortion and sought abortion because there was a parental consent bill that had been passed. She didn't want to get her parents' consent, so she petitioned a judge for an abortion. And the Florida Supreme Court ruled on this, that the Florida Constitution has a greater right to abortion than the U.S. Constitution has. Now, I've read both the Florida Constitution and the U.S. Constitution, and I can tell you that neither has a right to abortion. But the Florida Constitution does have a right of privacy, and the U.S. Constitution does not have a right of privacy, but Roe versus Wade was decided based on a right of privacy argument, that a woman has a right of privacy and that gives her then a right to an abortion. And the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, actually found that they didn't find the right of privacy in the Constitution, but they found it in the penumbras and emanations of the Bill of Rights. And so this is, and they did this, by the way, in previous cases, laying the groundwork for the Roe versus Wade decision, which has since been overturned. That was a judicial activist decision as well. But this law will take effect upon one of the following conditions: the Supreme Court ruling that holds that the right of privacy enshrined in Section 23, Article 1 of the state constitution does not include a right to abortion. A decision by the Florida Supreme Court in Planned Parenthood versus the state that allows the prohibition of abortion after 15 weeks, Florida statutes to remain in effect, including a decision approving in whole or in part the First District Court of Appeals decision under review or a decision discharging jurisdiction. An amendment to the state constitution clarifying that Section 23, Article 1 of the state constitution does not include a right to abortion, or a decision from the Florida Supreme Court after March 7, 2023, receding in whole or in part in Re T.W. Now we'll get into the actual bill and what it does say, and some of the things are actually good. The law does ban abortion after 6 weeks gestation. Certainly, it's a good thing to ban abortion after 6 weeks gestation. Even though the law is titled the Heartbeat Protection Act, it doesn't base protection of innocent human life on a biological function of a detectable heartbeat. This is a good thing, because protection of human life shouldn't be based on what someone can do or can't do. It eliminates telehealth abortion and mailing or delivering abortion medication. The wording of the telehealth abortion ban is personhood compliant. Laws that ban abortion procedures or ban procedures that harm innocent human life should never authorize taking human life in other circumstances. And this portion of the law is compliant with that. Now, if we base the value of or protect human life on what someone can do, then we protect Tom Brady, but we starve and dehydrate Terri Schiavo. You know, you may know that she was sentenced to death, really. She was starved and dehydrated to death because she was determined to be brain dead. This legislation also bans abortion after 6 weeks gestation, but sadly, specifically authorizes abortion prior to 6 weeks gestation and even to the end of the second or even third trimester abortion or third trimester in certain circumstances. This law legislates evil by law, as we read earlier from Psalm 94, verses 20 through 21. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. Now, this is really bad. It's bad to do this. It maintains also the regulation of abortion clinics, placing abortion as and placing the state in a position to actually authorize the killing of innocent human life. Now, let's apply this type of logic to another subject, to slavery. No one shall own a slave unless, or no one shall be lynched. No one shall lynch anyone unless they first see a picture of the person they intend to lynch. They have their parents' consent. They have waited 24 hours. The person being lynched is first anesthetized, or the person being lynched is less than or maybe even more than a certain age. Obviously, this would be ludicrous, yet this law specifically allows and specifically authorizes abortionists to rip the arms and legs off of a preborn child in certain circumstances, even all the way up to the end of the third trimester. So this law, again, in addition to banning abortion after 6 weeks, it continues the fatal-fetal anomaly exception. And this, by the way, it's interesting. I actually looked. There were 86 proposed amendments to this law, combining those that were filed in the House and the Senate at various stages. And there was actually a pro-abortion legislator that actually had a proposed amendment that would have taken the fatal-fetal anomaly exception out of the legislation. So imagine, on this point, that pro-abortion legislator on this specific point, not on all the other points, but on this specific point, that specific legislator is more pro-life than the legislators that sponsored and co-sponsored this bill. Let that sink in. There is currently an abortion mill in Orlando, and I have shown this to the Senate sponsor, Senator Grawl, who is actually my senator. I've actually shown this to her, that advertises, the Orlando Women's Center advertises that they, on their website, that they perform third trimester fatal fetal anomaly abortions. Now, this bill is slightly less evil in that it limits fatal fetal anomaly abortions to the end of the second trimester. So it's less evil, but only slightly so. Perhaps the Orlando Women's Center will have to change their advertisement to read that they perform second trimester fatal fetal anomaly abortions. Both are evil. Every human being should be protected because we are created in God's image. Even humans that are diagnosed with defects are still created in God's image and are worthy of our protection. Again, if we protect life based on bodily function, we protect Tom Brady and starve and dehydrate Terry Schiavo to death. So this legislation also specifically authorizes abortion prior to 6 weeks gestation and even to the end of the second and third trimester. This has a life and health and continues the life and health of the mother exception with no limitations, allowing abortion to protect the life or the health of the mother all the way to the end of the third trimester. There's no limit on it. A baby could be almost ready to be born. A woman could even be in delivery and want, say, I want to have an abortion. And if she can have a doctor that says that her life is at risk, her baby can be killed, even though the baby could easily be delivered and live outside the womb. So perhaps the Orlando Women's Center may actually start advertising that they perform third trimester life and health of the mother exceptions. Again, the Dublin Declaration, over 1,000 medical providers did say that abortion is never necessary to protect the life of the mother, much less her health. This exception also does not require abortionists to seek to save the life of the mother, the life of the preborn child. Any exception, and there are certain circumstances where there is medical treatment needs to be done to save the life of the mother. Yet that it's never necessary to slice a baby's arms and legs off and crush her skull. It's never necessary to poison the baby and cause the baby to be delivered dead. It's never necessary to use a suction machine to rip the baby limb from limb. It's never necessary to save the life of the mother. We have personal experience with this when my wife was pregnant with our first child, our daughter. My wife was really sick. She needed a care, and the doctor said the solution is to deliver the baby, but your baby's not can't survive outside the womb yet, so we need to allow your baby as much time inside of you as necessary. And thankfully, both were saved. And when my wife's life was at risk, truly at risk, the doctors did not suggest slicing our baby's arms and legs off and crushing her skull and removing her. No, they suggested an emergency cesarean section, and they did that. And as you can see on the screen, her flying across, she was a dancer and she still is, flying across the screen in a dance production never would have happened if we hadn't been pro-life and our doctors hadn't been pro-life and fought to save both my wife's life and also the life of our preborn child. And sometimes there are medical conditions where you actually have situations where the baby can't be protected. And sometimes the baby needs to be delivered prior to when we currently have technology to keep the baby alive. But that's very different than purposely killing a preborn child by abortion. This legislation also authorizes and actually adds a new exception to Florida statutes, the rape and incest and not only rape and incest, but also human trafficking exceptions that allow for abortion to happen all the way up until 15 weeks gestation. Now, we recall from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, God doesn't permit us to punish children for the sins of their fathers or fathers for the sins of their children. In what other circumstance do we punish an innocent human being for what her father has done? And when we're talking about these exceptions, we're talking about people. And there are humans that have been conceived in rape that are born, they're alive, and they're bold advocates, including our Florida Personhood Florida board member, Pam Stenzel, and also Rebecca Kiesling, that are bold advocates. They were both conceived in rape, and they are advocates for protecting every innocent human life without exception. This bill also sets penalties for violating the bill as a third degree felony. Now, really, in doing so, it cheapens the life of preborn children by not placing the same penalty upon an abortionist for violating this law as if that abortionist had actually killed someone that was alive. Also, if she dies through abortion, that's a second degree felony. So her life is worth more than the preborn's life, but her life is still not worth as much as someone who is born that is not receiving an abortion. This bill also includes $5 million annually for the distribution of birth control, which will promote promiscuity and has a failure rate, and as a result, will result in more unplanned pregnancies, and this is a problem. So when we look at this law, we can say certainly that this law is less evil, but we can't biblically say that this law is better or good, or that it's more good, or that it's closer to, it certainly is less deviant from where we have been, but it's not good. It's never good to have a law that specifically authorizes shedding innocent blood. We need to call for the legal protection of every innocent human life. And this is what we stand for. We stand for biblical principles and call for our legislators to protect every innocent human life without exception. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
We need the fire. We need the fire. It's my desire. We need the fire. We need the fire. We need the fire. It's my desire. Oh, let it fall on me. Let it fall on me. Let it fall on me. So the world can see. Yes, we do. Come on, Myron.
The fire of Moses that he saw in the bush, signifying.